Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to be with you guys this morning, and I'd like to take our time this morning and share something that happened to me this summer, and it's kind of a sad story, so just give you a little spoiler alert right off the bat. So each summer for the last 9 years, God has given me a great opportunity to lead a camp in Schenectady called Summer Youth Adventure. About 40 kids from Schenectady sign up each summer, and we put on a camp for them. We used to meet at the Mission, now we meet at Open Arms Church, and we do that for 4 weeks. And so every summer, we have about 40 kids that we're sharing Jesus with for 4 weeks. It's awesome. And we had a great summer, probably one of the best ones that we've had to date. But unfortunately, the summer ended with a pretty great sadness. And so there was a camper that came all last summer and came 3 weeks of this summer. A great camper, sweet camper, his name was DeMarcus, and he was 10 years old. And he was coming through camp with us, he had a great time going through the Bible lessons and the games and the snacks and all those things. And about 3 weeks into camp, he was at home one day and he had a terrible, terrible asthma attack. I don't know if you guys have asthma here, I do. Hate asthma. It's part of the curse, part of the fall. Can't wait until it's gone. But DeMarcus had this really bad asthma attack at home, and it was so bad that he actually passed out. And so his mom tried to revive him, couldn't. And so they took him to Ellis Hospital. And then from Ellis, they airlifted him to Albany Med. And the time lapse between these events was very great. And so he was out the entire time. So they finally get him on a ventilator at Albany Med. And they're saying, you know, this poor kid has lost so much oxygen. We have to do a CAT scan to find out, you know, where he's at. And turns out he was brain dead. And so through the course of a couple, through that week, he actually passed away. And so it was a hard thing because it was a camper that we had last summer. It was a camper that I drove home last summer. It was a camper that we were getting to know last summer and this summer. And my team and I went to his funeral, and all I could think about as I was standing there and our team was standing there was, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. How it's so important to make sure we know who Jesus is and make sure the people we know and love know who Jesus is, to help them to know all that Jesus has done for them, how to trust him, and then how to walk with him in all of life. And so all I could think about at that funeral that day was, did DeMarcus know Christ? Did he really put his trust and faith in Jesus during camp? We absolutely hope that he did. But all I kept on thinking was, man, we have a charge to make disciples of Christ, to make sure people know about Jesus, who he is and what he's done. And so we spent all this past summer at church here speaking about and learning about Jesus. We looked at so many awesome things about him. And so today I want to call us one more time to consider what it looks like to follow him in all our life, not just here at Sunday, but all of life. And so to do that, I wanna look at Matthew 28, which we've read, and also Acts 1 this morning. So before we jump in, I wanna pray for us real quick, and then we're gonna go through these passages and see, all right, Lord, what is it that you wanna call us to based on everything we looked at this summer? It wasn't just to entertain us or enlighten us. You really wanna help us to put these things into practice by your Spirit. So when we pray and ask the Lord to drive this home one last time before we move on. So let's pray. So Father, I want to thank you so much that you're good and you're sovereign and you are over all things that happen in our lives. Thank you that you bring people into our lives for a season. Thank you that you give us each the unique calling and responsibility to share Jesus with our family, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, people that we brush shoulders with every day. Thank you, Lord, that even though it's a very tall task and something that's very challenging, you do empower us by your Spirit to do it. So I just pray, Lord, that you would help us this morning to hear what it is you're trying to say to us through this passage, and that we would consider ourselves disciples of Christ who, with your help, go and make more disciples and followers of Christ. And Lord, the arena to do that is in all of life. So I just pray that you'd help us to see what it is you're calling us to in our homes, here at church, in our communities. Help us to see what it is you want to do through our lives. And thank you, Lord, that we're not going in our own power to do this, but yours. So I pray that you would empower us afresh this morning with fresh eyes and fresh vision to see what it is you want to do through our lives. And I just want to thank you for these passages and how you're going to speak to us. In your name, amen. All right, so we're going to look at Matthew 28 to start. And so a bit of context. So Jesus rises from the dead. Thank goodness he rises from the dead. He appears to his disciples over and over again for a period of 40 days. So he doesn't just appear to them once, he appears to them numerous times. He shows up to Mary at the tomb. He shows up to the two disciples walking on the road to Emmaus. Now, some scholars say that's a 7-mile walk that these guys were walking, and Jesus walks with them. Last time I checked, the dead guy does not walk 7 miles. Well, no miles. So Jesus walks with them for at least 7 miles. He shows up to the scared disciples behind closed doors and appears to them again to call Thomas to belief. He shows up to Peter, who'd basically given up after he denied Christ 3 times. And Jesus recreates the very scene, right on down to the very smell, right, to reinstate Peter to relationship with Christ. And right before he ascends to heaven, we have this awesome passage in Matthew where he gives us his final marching orders to his disciples. And so here's the charge that he gives them. Matthew 28:16-17 says this. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, comma, but some doubted. So disciples listen to Jesus and go to the mountain that Jesus commanded them to go to. And as he promised, he shows up. Now, don't you just love that? That when we actually take Jesus at his word, he shows up. I'm glad that as we take him at his word for communion this morning, he showed up. He encouraged us. He reminded us of who he is and what he's done. And so they go to the mountain and Jesus shows up. Don't ever forget that. As we take Jesus at his word, he shows up. Verse 17, and when they saw Jesus, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Now, I love the fact that the Gospels include these embarrassing details. As you read through the Gospel of Mark, Peter was the one, I believe, was writing that, and he wrote down that when they were coming to arrest Jesus, Mark ran away naked. Can you imagine Mark reading that Gospel being like, oh, yeah, yeah, oh, my gosh, Peter, why'd you include that? Because I thought it would be funny. I don't know why Peter included it, but he includes these embarrassing details to show us that these things actually took place. When people look at the Gospel and see all these embarrassing details, like the disciples hiding in fear and them doubting in the very midst of Christ, that encourages my faith. And I hope it encourages yours too, that these things actually took place. So here we have the disciples seeing Jesus raised from the dead and having Jesus appear to them a bunch of times, having mixed responses about him. So some worship while some doubt. I don't know about you, but that gives me great hope. I've never seen Jesus with my physical eyes. I can safely assume that's the same scenario for us all. And if you have seen him, come talk to me afterward. I'd like to see what that would be like. But here we see the disciples, all of which have been with Jesus for 3 years and had seen the resurrected Christ with their very eyes numerous times, still doubting. And standing at that funeral, it was very, very easy to doubt God and his goodness. Because DeMarcus was 10. He had his whole life in front of him. Now, I've seen Jesus show up in my life hundreds of times. I've been walking with Jesus now for over 20 years. But in that moment, I doubted. I wondered what God was doing. I was angry. I was asking him to remind me that in light of such tragedy, he was still good. He was going to still use this somehow. But the disciples worshiping and doubting is a good picture of our journey, isn't it? Sometimes we get who Jesus is and what he's up to, and we worship him. There are other times, however, when we don't understand what he's doing in our lives or the lives of those we love, and we pray for them, and we seek God on their behalf, and we don't know what he's up to. And sometimes we doubt. So I believe that this is showing us that we're never, ever, ever going to outgrow our need for grace, outgrow our need for the gospel. There's never a time when we fully arrive. We are people in process, slowly being transformed. People are going from doubt to worry in every area of life all the time. And that's why we need each other. That's why we gather. Because sometimes I forget. And when we come and we sing songs and we do communion and we're fellowshipping, you guys remind me of who Jesus is. And I hope it goes both ways. Sometimes we need that encouragement and that reminder from each other. We need reminders of his grace, of his presence, of his love, of his power in the middle of our daily lives because we forget, because I forget. And so in the middle of the disciples' lives, when they're in this mix, when they're looking to shift from doubt to trust and worship, Jesus appears and calls them on his mission. I love that too. Jesus didn't wait until they had it all figured out until there was not one little bit of doubt left. Right in the middle of their lives, Jesus shows up and calls them to trust him and to join him in his mission. Well, notice what he says to him next, verse 18 and 19. So Jesus comes to them and says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. So I want us to think about that real quick. All authority has been given to Jesus. Now think about that. There is no authority in all of heaven and all of earth that can call the will of Jesus into question. That's what John Piper writes. He's the final authority. And Pastor Peter, when he was preaching last week, he said that Jesus is Lord and Master. And Master Jesus is calling us to follow him as disciples and then calling us to join him in making other disciples of him. Again, I like what John Piper says about this. Without this declaration of Jesus' authority, we can never venture confidently to make disciples. On what possible basis do we have any right to tell anybody that they should change their whole way of life and thinking and acting and become a follower of Christ? Tall task. But since Jesus is the authority, signed, sealed, and delivered through his death and resurrection, he is authorizing us to make this declaration to people everywhere. Think of a bullseye. The very center of the bullseye is where the gospel takes root in our hearts. And I just want to ask us, have we recognized that God is perfectly holy and just, and that we have broken his standards, and that he has sent his very son to, with his own life and blood, pay for the price of our sins? Have we actually trusted Christ as our Lord and Savior? Are we disciples of Christ? We can't make disciples if we're not disciples first, right? And then moves out from our hearts to the next ring. Think of our families, our spouses, our kids, our grandkids. Do they know Christ? Are they following him as Lord and Savior? It then moves out another ring to our friends, to our acquaintances, to our coworkers, our neighbors, the people in our church, and out it goes. I just wanna consider all the people that we brush into on a daily basis. Consider them, consider us shifting from our being our own final authority to Jesus being our final authority. From deciding for ourselves what's right and wrong, based on how we feel, based on what we like or don't like, to let Jesus call the shots. Now, here's the thing. We can't control how people are going to respond. Some people are going to accept Christ. Some people are going to be like, no thanks. And all we can do is just join Jesus in the process and trust what he's doing. So before we move on, quick question. Do we see ourselves as disciples of Christ, called to make more disciples of Christ? It is all of our responsibility, if we're a follower of Christ, to follow him as a disciple, and to pour our lives into other people and to encourage them to follow Christ as well. Do we see that as our charge? And if so, who is it that God is calling us to make disciples of? All I could think about is those kids in Schenectady. My wife and I have lived in Schenectady for 10 years and I wanna see people in Schenectady know Jesus. I love my neighbors. I wanna see them walk with Christ. But the question is, who are we called to make disciples of? And I want you to personalize that. Who are you and your family called to make disciples of? So after calling us to make disciples of every people group there is, starting with them and rippling outward, Jesus expands on how they are to make disciples. Take a look at verse 19 and 20. Baptizing them into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And so the first thing we notice here is that Jesus is calling us to make disciples, and one of the ways we do that is by baptizing them into the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit. Now, baptism means to immerse. Literally, the word was used when you take a piece of cloth and you immerse it in, say, red dye. And you'd literally just soak it, and then you'd pull it up, and then it would be red, right? That's what the word was used for. So think of the imagery here. Jesus is calling us to be immersed in water, right? To show that we have died with Christ as we go under the water, as we raise up, that we've been raised to new life with Christ. That's what he's calling us to. And as we're going down into the water and coming up, it's showing something that's happened to us, that we've died to our old master, to deciding for ourselves what's right and wrong, and we've been born again into a new kingdom with a new king. We've been literally immersed into his blood, and as we come up, we are now, all our sins are white as snow. It's amazing. And that's why we do baptisms here. That's why it's so exciting. We clap this morning for 20 people following Christ in baptism next weekend. That's amazing. If you're following Christ in that, thank you. Because you're showing us what it looks like to follow Christ. You're showing us the gospel. When you go down under the water and come up, you're showing us what it means to follow Christ. You've died to your old life. You're brand new in Christ. That's amazing. So thank you for doing that. I just want to encourage you guys as you're taking that step. But there's more here. Jesus is telling us to immerse disciples in water, of course, showing our death and resurrection, but also he tells us immerse into the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit. Into the name of speaks of identity. Think about this. It's a transformation piece that what it means to be a disciple. It's that transformation, becoming more and more in real time who God says we are. So as we're baptized into the name of the Father, think about this. We're coming up out of the water, and God is now our Father. We can approach him as Papa, as Abba, and that means we're brothers and sisters with each other. We're family. as we're baptized or immersed into the name of the Son, since Jesus is King and Lord, we're coming up out of the water and we're now his servants. And because we're baptized into the name of the Spirit, when we come up out of the water, guess what? The Spirit sends us. And so we're his missionaries, right? We don't get to choose this. This is who we become when we trust Christ. And so one of my favorite churches that I follow and I've been reading a lot about, et cetera, is this church out in Washington. And they say that the way they summarize their identities is we are a family of missionary servants sent as disciples who make disciples. That's who we are. We can't get out of that. When we trust Christ, that's who we become. So we become family with each other. We become servants of Jesus. We become sent ones. That is who we are in Christ. And so we're to be immersed in this. We're to help people understand who they are in Christ, the fact that they have a new father, the fact that they've been called to serve the King, the fact that they're sent. We're supposed to help people understand this, help them understand the Father's love and understand the King's sending and the Spirit's enabling. This is our birthright. This is who we become when we follow Christ. This is what we're immersing disciples into. And so before we move on, real quick, do you see yourselves as part of God's family? Do you see people here at Faith as part of the family of God, as fellow believers, as brothers and sisters in Christ? Well, how about our servant identity? Do we see ourselves as servants of Christ? And if so, who are we called and how are we called to serve in tangible ways? How about missionaries? Do we see ourselves as missionaries? We are a great church at sending missionaries to other countries here in America and abroad, but do we see ourselves also as missionaries of Christ? Because it's who we are in Christ. If you've been immersed into Christ, it's who we are now. So who are we sent to? I want us to think of the places that God has us, our workplace, our neighborhoods, as places that are not just coincidental, but places that God has actually sent us to and is sending us to. So think about that. How is God speaking to you through this? Well, Jesus continues, not only are we immersed disciples in water and their new identities, but we also make disciples and grow as disciples by following his commands, by teaching people to obey Christ and everything he commanded us. Now think about this. What kind of things did Jesus command us to do? He commanded us to love God. He commanded us to love each other. He commanded us to love our neighbor as much as we love ourselves. And we can be really blockheaded about this time, a lot of times, and so can I. And that's why God gives us 27 books in the New Testament to kind of flesh out what this means. And as you read through those books, there's 52 one another statements, which implies relationship. It implies getting involved in messiness of life with other people, to love each other, to pray for each other, to forgive one another, to be kind to one another, and 48 others. That's a lot of one another's. Again, that's why we need help. That's why we need Jesus's life in us and through us in this. And so this is telling me that discipleship happens, not just here at church, although it does happen here, it happens in all of life as well. And we have to see life as the arena where this takes place. Well, last Sunday after coming home from church, I turned on TV to see if any football pregames were on, and there was one. It was a Bears-Titans game. I don't really like the Bears or the Titans, but hey, it's football. So as I sat down, Sam, my son, sat down next to me. Now, Sam is 4, and I told him, "Man, I love football." And Sam responded, "I love football too." Now, Sam doesn't even really know what football is yet, but it started dawning on me, oh my gosh, I've seen this hundreds of times with Sam. I say I love something, and seconds later, Sam says, "Oh, I love that too." It's cute, and I like it. It's also scary, because we have people watching our lives all the time. We have people watching and say, if we really are a follower of Christ, what are they seeing from our lives about what it looks like to be a follower of Christ? What are our kids and our grandkids and our neighbors and our coworkers seeing through our lives? Now, I'm still learning this. I still fail at this more times than I'd care to admit. But Jesus is teaching me more and more how important it is to just come as I am to him, to receive fresh grace and fresh mercy and fresh power. There's a bigness to this. Do you feel it? It encompasses all of life. And that's why, last passage, Acts 1:8, Jesus tells us this. "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And if you're ever wondering, well, how in the world am I gonna pull this thing off to make disciples of Jesus in all of life, in my family, my friends, my kids, like, how is this gonna work? Thank God for this passage. We don't have to muster up the discipline and the strength and the energy in and of ourselves to do this. We have God's very Spirit empowering us to believe who he says we are and to live consistently. That's what God's Spirit does. He reminds us of what Christ has done. He reminds us of who we are, and he empowers us to actually walk with Christ in this. So Jesus tells the disciples, listen, you're gonna receive power when the Spirit comes on you, and you're gonna be my witnesses in your homes and neighborhoods, i.e. your Jerusalem, in our Judea, which is our surrounding communities, in our Samaria, places those places we probably don't wanna go, and to the uttermost, those places and people groups beyond us. Jesus is going to empower us to do this. Now, I know it can be a daunting task, but look at how our Matthew passage ends. It's the same exact thing he tells us in Acts. Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So lest we think any of this depends on us, it doesn't. He is with us always to the end of the age. So he's calling us to cooperate with him, to find his strength, to really see with his eyes, to feel with his heart, to just let him show you what he wants to do through your life. And so as we wrap up this morning, I just want to encourage us, what's God saying to you through this? Perhaps he's reminding us that we're people in process. Thank goodness for his grace. That's why we do this, communion. That's why we gather, because we need to remember, we are people in process. Thank goodness for his grace. Perhaps he's reminding us of his charge to make disciples, and it may be time for us to think of who, or of whom am I gonna make disciples? My family, my friends, my coworkers. Be intentional about that. Really seek what the Lord wants to do through your life. Perhaps he's reminding us to understand and immerse ourselves in our new identities in Christ. Maybe we just need to see, God, how do you see me? Who am I? When you see me, what do you see? And maybe we just need to be immersed in that. And I wanna help with that. That's what I've been studying the last 10 years, is who I am in Christ. Because I wanna know what Jesus says is true about me and live accordingly. And maybe you're already moving in that direction, and maybe you're just needing fresh power. That's why we pray, that's why we sing. Lord, fill us again with your power so we can do this day by day. Whatever it is God's speaking to you, I'm just gonna ask, let the Lord clarify those next steps. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. It's super important for us to know Christ and follow him ourselves, but then also introduce other people to Christ and show them with our lives what it looks like to follow Christ. And if you're like, I don't know how to do that, you're in good company. Neither did the disciples. Neither do I. But Jesus does, and he's with us to the end of the age, and he's gonna empower us by his Spirit to do it. So let's pray and thank him for that. So Father, I wanna thank you that as we looked at Summer in the Sun, all these great messages this summer, devotionals at home about Christ, you're showing us what it looks like to follow you as a disciple. And Lord, you're calling us to do that ourselves and then also to make disciples. And so Lord, I pray that you'd help us to see first and foremost that we are a disciple of Christ and that you would show us who you're calling us to make disciples of. I also pray, Lord, you'd immerse us more and more into our identity in Christ. Thank you for all those who are being baptized next weekend. They're showing us what it looks like to die and rise with Christ. I just pray, Lord, you'd immerse us into our family identity. Help us to love each other as brothers and sisters. Immerse us in our servant identity. Help us find ways in our church and abroad to serve. It could be people in need, it could be people in Texas, it could be anywhere, Lord. Help us to actually serve by your Spirit. And Lord, help us to see ourselves as missionaries sent by the Holy Spirit to share the truth of Christ with others. Now, Lord, we know that this is a very tall task. We can't pull it off on our own. Thank you so much that you empower us by your Spirit and your presence and that you go with us to do this. So Lord, I just pray that as we sing one final song and reflect, show us what it is you're saying to us. Help us get it. And then with your Spirit's help, apply it this week so the people who are watching our lives can see a really good picture of what Christ is like and will want to follow him too. We pray all this in your name. Amen.